Take your Bibles, if you will, please, tonight, and turn with us to the book of Psalm, chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. I tell you what let's do tonight. Let's read this psalm together. What I'll do is read the first verse, and y'all read the second verse. I'll read the third verse, and y'all read the fourth verse. Let's do that, okay? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you will help us in the service to be a blessing to our people. May the service, Lord, be a blessing to you. I believe, Lord, the singing has already been a blessing, Lord, to the people and, Lord, to our precious Savior. Lord, we confess that without you we can do nothing. So, Lord, tonight we just ask you to clothe us in our calling. Help us to be a help. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We began preaching this morning, and my wife told me on the way to the restaurant, she said, I thought, why is he quitting? And then she said, I looked at my watch. I know that maybe sometimes we shouldn't pay any attention to our watch, but I do know this. I heard a preacher say years ago, the mind cannot comprehend any more than the seat can endure. Amen. So this morning I just felt led of the Lord. Instead of just rushing through and trying to get this last part in, just to come back tonight. And this morning we're talking about the subject is serve the Lord with gladness. I believe that gladness is one thing we cannot have too much of. If it's genuine, I need to put that in there because a lot of people can put on, amen, but genuine gladness has to flow from the heart. And I'm going to give you some things tonight, even on top of what we had this morning, that I believe would be a help. And we started the message with this kind of service, excuse me, serving the Lord with gladness is a service that's expected. Maybe we don't like hearing that, but when we got saved by the grace of God, God expects us to serve Him. I've said it like this before. If the only reason God saved me was to take me to heaven, He'd have hit me in the head February 22nd, 1987 and took me on to heaven. Amen. But He left me here, so He had a purpose for my life. My life verse is, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourself your servant for Jesus' sake. I've said for years, I believe the best Christians are servants. And I believe that's expected of you and I. We read you that parable over there about the servant. Does he say, you know, come in from the field and say, serve me? No, he serves the master first. And then he says, we've done that which was our duty to do. I didn't mention this morning, but really what was going on in the illustration with my dad and the cedar shakes could be rounded up like this. There's a time in our lives when we look at the work of the Lord like, praise God, I get to do this. And if we're not careful, it turns into a time, oh no, I have to do this. Is that right? Amen. You know, you think about, I'm just going back several things in my life. Think about when I was just got old enough to ride the riding lawnmower. Son, I'm telling you, you're talking about a treat. Amen. But in about 2 or 3 years, that gets old and you just wish somebody else to mow the grass. Yeah, I mean, you're growing up, you can't wait to drive a car, and now it's a waste of breath. I say, Miss Eve, you want to drive? No. Just the opposite with you, Brother Brian. Amen. Paul Andretti always wants to drive. Amen. But it's that way in the Christian life too. Where there's a time when we're so excited about any opportunity, left or right, just do something for God, just anything, just do it for the Lord. And if we're not careful, that excitement dies down. And now it's no longer a blessing, but it becomes a burden. Children are the same way. Ain't that right? Man, you go down there at the nursery and the hospital and you're having your little babies. And one thing I'll plug in right there. When somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, what is it? I've never had anybody turn around and say, we don't know. I believe the president's right. Either it's a boy or a girl. Amen. It's still that away. Amen. But there's all that excitement. And if you're not careful, then you got to work and pay the bills. You got to pay the insurance. You got to put food on the table. And if you're not careful, that excitement dies down. And even raising a family can become a burden instead of a blessing. And so tonight, we want to say that service is expected. And then this morning, we spent some time talking about that service is expressed. When that service comes from the heart, it's going to be expressed in the joy of the Lord. Amen. I think about men like Brother Wrightley Salling. If you ever knew him, I'm telling you what's the truth. He exuded the joy of the Lord. Amen. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I had the privilege. I'm relatively sure that the last meeting that Brother Wrightley preached, I had the privilege to preach with him. It was at Oak Glen when Brother Steve Dagenhart's mom, I believe, got sick, and he was scheduled to preach the meeting, and Brother Wrightley and I did every other night in the meeting. It's a memory that's precious to me. Amen. And so we ought to be expressing that service, and it ought to be a joy. We talked about that joyful noise. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to split the ears. Amen. It means to break. It means to shout. Sound an alarm. And really, that's what our lives and our service to the Lord ought to be doing. Now tonight, I'm going to give you two things in closing tonight. And again, I say if you just got excited, then you're visiting tonight. Amen. But anyway, I'll give you two things to finish up the message tonight. Serving the Lord with gladness, not only is it expected and not only is it expressed, does it come out of us, but serving the Lord with gladness is exalting. When we serve the Lord with gladness, it exalts the Lord. How many remembers the text when Jesus was talking about Calvary? And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You know what I believe? I believe we can lift him up in the church. I believe we can lift him up in the choir. I believe we can lift him up on the job. I believe we can lift him up on the street. I believe we can lift him up in the grocery store. Say amen. Even with eggs sky high. Amen. We can thank God there's an egg on the shelf. Amen. And a chicken to lay it somewhere. But listen, I believe with all my heart that service is exalting. Now, the idea of scriptural service is that our service exalts the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this morning, or this evening, there's two things that I found out here. Either service will exalt the Lord, or it will exalt self. A lot of service in the name of Jesus is done to say, look at me. Not look at him, but look at me. I'm telling you, that's a failure, and the judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal it. Amen. If we get up and we do anything, if we do it out there, if we do it in here, and we're doing it for me, it's all. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says our works are going to be tried so as by fire. See, God not only knows what we do, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And our service, when it's genuine, and it's a service, serve the Lord with gladness, that gladness comes from within, and it's because it's exalting the Lord. We don't want to be. Brother Chuck, you said something this morning when you joined the church, and you said it to me on the phone, but you repeated it. He said this, I just want to serve the Lord in the background. Did you hear that? Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to blow him up. But how many people want to serve the Lord in the background? Amen. Listen, some of us can't be in the background. It'd be hard to be the pastor of a church and be in the background. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. I can get up here and preach for the right reason. Because I love Jesus and He loves me and I love my people. Amen. And I can serve Him with gladness. It'd be a shame if the day ever came when I had to dread coming to the pulpit. It'd be a shame. Not only would it be a shame, it would be reflected. Amen. You might hide that for a little while, but you ain't going to hide it long. Amen. The joy of the Lord is real. And so the Bible said this, I'm just going to touch on this real quickly, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's not about our stinking flesh. Amen. I love a statement I heard years ago. It should never matter who gets the credit, long as God gets the glory. I like that statement. Amen. Years ago, Brother Brian, you're in the medical field, and I began praying, you know, and for years and years I said this, man, we need to give God the glory. God does something for somebody. We need to give God the glory. And that's true. But you know what? God spoke to my heart about this. We can give the doctors the credit and give God the glory all at the same time. They went to school. They studied. They had a compassion. If they don't have any compassion for people, they got no business being a doctor. Amen? But I'm just telling you, beloved, we can give them the credit and give God the glory all at the same time. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That I'm not going to go to the Scripture tonight. I was going to, but there's all kinds of them where Jesus said to the Pharisees, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. Want to know why? Because they had something on the outside they didn't have on the inside. They were all about impressing men. That's what they were all about. Amen. That's why they wanted everybody to see their alms. Why they wanted everybody to hear and pray down on the street corner. Amen. It's because they wanted to impress men. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican is a good example. I thank you, God, that I'm not as other men are, but I counted it this afternoon. There's five eyes in that text. Can I tell you, eyes, what got us started in trouble to start with? When old Slewfoot in heaven, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I. And I is the middle letter in pride, and I is the middle letter in sin. And so, in service that's exalting the Lord, we need to be like that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He humbled his heart. He realized, boy, God, just give me this. The Pharisee thought God needed him. The publican said, nah, it ain't that way. I need God. And beloved, it's that way not just when we're lost seeking a Savior, say amen, but when we're trying to serve Him, if we're going to serve Him with gladness, we got to get to the place where we say, God, I can't do this without You. Because the Scripture said, without me, you can do nothing. But there's another side. Turn that coin over. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And there's a big difference, amen, in doing it through Christ. I want to give you something that I found, and I thought it was worth reading tonight. And it's drawing a contrast between self-righteous service or self-centered service and Christ-centered service. It said this, self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with the Lord deep inside. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. True service rests contented in hiddenness. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. Boy, I'm telling you what. Man, I remember the day that God delivered me. There's not a person in the world that would love to see people walking down that aisle every Sunday and getting right with God any more than I would. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This is what he said here. He said, self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. True service is free of the need to calculate the results. Somebody told Brother Mays Jackson one time. They told Brother Mays. They said, boy, Brother Mays, they've been a lot of people saved. He said, oh, I don't know about that. He said, we better let God keep a record. He said, I keep going back to the same place year after year, and I find out a lot of them don't ever come back. Amen. Somebody said one time they were having trouble with the bats in the church, and another pastor said, well, I know how to get rid of them. He said, tell me how. He said, they're everywhere in the church. And he said, just baptize them, let them join the church. Said, you'll never see them again. Amen. And that's the way it happens sometimes. Amen. But this self-righteous service, it picks and chooses who to serve. True service is no respect of persons in its ministry. I tell you, that's something that I don't believe I could ever put up with. I would never. I mean, if a child comes in here on a van, and that young'un's got mud on his feet, that young'un don't smell good. If it's an older person that don't smell good, that might be me for long. Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, oh no, we're no big eyes and little U's. That's one of the reasons I told Brother Gary when I came here, I don't want to know who gives what. Say amen. We're all God's youngins, and the ground's level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. Think about that. A lifestyle. In other words, if you're serving of the Lord on Sunday, you're serving of the Lord on Monday. You're serving of the Lord on Tuesday. You get it? Amen? Amen. You've all heard somebody say something like this about a woman or a man. They're just the same down at the grocery store. It don't matter where you meet them. If you meet them at the gas station, the grocery store, or the bank, amen. And I like that. I believe God's pleased with that. We shouldn't have some church face we put on Sunday. Amen. We ought to have a heart for God every day of our life. Amen. Self-righteous service is temporary. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. It insists on meeting the need, even when to do so would be destructive. True service can withhold the service as freely as performing. Self-righteous service fractures community. True service, on the other hand, builds community. I thought these were some pretty good things. Amen. I don't know about you, but after reading all that, I want to be involved in true service. I want to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. I believe that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, I've got something tonight, and I believe this is one of the reasons the Lord put this off till tonight. Because I already had this copied and pasted yesterday when I got to thinking about exalting, either exalting the Lord or exalting self, the Savior or self. This verse came to my mind. But God forbid, Paul said this, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul, if you study his life, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very intelligent man. Brother John and I have talked at times about Brother James Jones. Brother James has been here and held revival. You don't have to talk to Brother James or listen to him preach long to realize, beloved, he'd been around. He'd been deep, deep, deep in that book. Amen. But I tell you what, he don't intimidate you with his knowledge. Connor, he could sit down and talk to us. Amen. Just like an old country boy that we are. Amen. And I love that about him. Amen. But Paul had all that education, and yet he said, just put that on a dunghill somewhere that I might win Christ. Amen. I'm not against education unless it makes you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Amen. Years ago, I served for 10 years with the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And some of the men could not get up. They could not get up even in front of a bunch of prisoners without telling you where they went to Bible college. And often, I sat there and I thought, if that dean was here, he'd say, please don't tell them again where you went. Because lots of times, beloved, the preaching did not reflect that they had been to Bible college. Amen. It really didn't even reflect they had been in their Bible. Amen. I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you, beloved, if you've got to mention it, I got people all the time that ask me where I went to school. And I always tell them, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. Amen. You go up there 5.5 years, you'll get a schooling. I guarantee it. Amen. I'm not against education unless it makes you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I believe the best people in the Christian service are humble about that. I believe even the best doctors are. They may have education, but they're not running around bragging about it. So I got this song on my mind. Don't worry. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read the lyrics. And Brother Junior's not here tonight. I wish he was, because he would probably already, he knows the story behind the song most of the time. And actually, Brother Junior's the reason I felt led to look this up today. I thought I better at least know who wrote it. Amen. And here's the lyrics to the song. I boast not of works nor tell of good deeds, for naught have I done to merit His grace. All glory and praise shall rest upon Him so willing to die in my place. Anybody know the song? Do y'all sing it? You don't have to do the invitation now, brother. They're going to do it. Amen. I just got you off a hook. Amen. Don't tell me you can sing it if you can't. Amen. Brother Brian's going like this, and Paul's going, oh, no. Amen. You've got time to pray, sister. Amen. You got time to pray. So I will glory in the cross, lest His suffering all be in vain. And I will weep no more for the cross that He bore. I will glory in the cross. My trophies and crowns, my robe stained with sin, was all that I had to lay at His feet. Unworthy to eat from the table of life, till love made provision for me. I will glory in the cross. Now that was great yesterday when God led my heart to that song after reading that verse about Paul. But I tell you what, it got gooder this afternoon. I went to look and I said, who wrote that? You know who wrote it, Brother Jack? You know who wrote it, don't you, Brother? Tell him, Brother Brian. Dottie Rambo. Yeah. And so I looked up. I was looking to see who wrote it. That's all I was looking for. And I ran across the history of the song. Dottie Rambo was born to Joyce Reba Luttrell in Madisonville, Kentucky, during the Great Depression. She grew up in poverty and learned to play a guitar while listening at night to WSM radio in Nashville. At age eight, she started writing songs while sitting on the creek bank near her Kentucky home. She grew to excel as a singer and a songwriter and greatly influenced the world of Christian music. The Rambos, Dottie, her husband Buck, and their daughter Reba, went to Holland for a number of concerts. She told me when we got off the plane, people met us and took us to this little quaint hotel. As we rode along, the young driver informed us that while we were there, we were not to sing about the cross of Christ. I looked at the young man and asked, do you mean that we are not allowed to sing about the cross to these Christians? He said, no, they consider it gory. They don't want to hear about the blood or the cross. I then looked at him. I was old enough to be his mother. And I said, son, if you won't tell them you told me this, then I will pretend I don't know it. Because I will be singing about the cross and about the blood of Jesus. During the concert, you say, Pastor, why do you think this woman did it? I'll tell you why. Because she is already serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. It's down inside, it's coming out. During the concert, that very night, we sang songs that tell of Christ's gift of life to us and how He went to the cross in our place. Listen, people in the audience were weeping. Even the man who sent the message that we were not to sing about the cross of Christ was weeping. We went back to the little hotel that evening and to bed. I lay there in the darkness and I began to weep. I said, God, I apologize that we wouldn't want to hear about the blood of Christ, His cross and His grace. I really apologize. As I lay there, the Lord began to give me a song. I awoke the next morning, took my instrument, and discovered that the song had not been erased from my mind as I slept. Dottie said to me, I ask the Lord to let me, at least once a year, write a song that will speak to the hearts of Christians everywhere. During her life, she wrote more than 2,000 songs. However, her songwriting and her singing activities came to an end on Mother's Day, May the 11th, 2008, in an early morning highway accident near Mount Vernon, Missouri. So an accident took her home to be with Jesus. I don't know about you, but the president the other day, he made a statement about the American people. And this is what he said. They get it. He said, the American people get it. You know what I believe about Dottie? She got it. Amen. She had a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation down in here. And it flowed out of her mouth. It flowed out of her heart, out through her mouth in songs. And to God be the glory. I believe she would tell you that serving Christ, serving Him with gladness, is the utmost in this life. One more thing tonight and I'm finished. Go to verse 5 with me, please. The Bible said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. And this is what I want to say about serving the Lord with gladness, lastly. It's expansive. I didn't say expensive, I said expansive. It just keeps going and going and going and going. You can't stop it, amen. When you have people that will serve the Lord with gladness, it doesn't stop with the parents. It goes to the children. It goes to the grandchildren. Amen. There can be homes that don't even know the Lord. My wife, when she was a teenager, I asked her, Brother Chuck, I said, Eve, do you fear God? And in an honest response, she said, no, am I supposed to? She knew nothing. She had no Sunday school background, no church background. She was being honest with me. No, am I supposed to? She's about the most unlikely candidate in the world to be a pastor's wife. And I'm about the most unlikely candidate to be a pastor. But here we are. Because God put men and women in front of us through our lives that told us the truth about sin, told us the truth about a Savior that didn't hold back. I can still close my eyes and see Howard Mitchell. He's just about as tall, if not a little bit taller, than Brother Jason. And to me, as a 10-year-old boy, he looked like a giant standing up in front of... And you know, that little old boy's class, a lot of people would have said, why, that, you know. All this man did, he was a guard in a big factory. And all he did all night long was walk around and check the gates and check the doors and make sure everything was locked and memorize Scripture. I'm telling you, what's the truth? He didn't even have to open his Bible. He was just giving us that Bible. And when we will serve the Lord with gladness. By the way, let me just say something to you. Our kids will probably pick up on it quicker than anybody else in the world. If we're serving the Lord out of obligation. I was thinking about this afternoon, Brother Chris. I heard a story about somebody said they asked this little boy what they were having for lunch and after church. And little boy said, buzzard. Buzzard? said, yeah. I said, I heard Daddy ask a preacher if he wanted to come over, and Mama said, that old buzzard's coming again. Amen. Amen. You got to watch them old buzzards. They'll eat all the chicken you got. Say amen. All I'm saying is them youngins know. They know the difference between serving the Lord with gladness and serving the Lord just for the externals. Amen. What's real. Avery, would you come up here and do that verse for preacher tonight, honey? Mommy's coming with her. That's okay. I'll get a microphone ready for Avery. Here you go, sweetheart. You want to hold it, Mommy?
Sure.
I might make her nervous. I'll stand back here. Go ahead, baby.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 3:16.
Avery, how old are you, baby? You're 4? Okay. Avery's 4 years old. Somebody around Bible Way is investing their life in these children. Moms and dads are investing their lives in these children. Now listen to me. Y'all got a dollar or two in your pocket. You ought to reward that young and say amen for getting up here in front of all these ugly Baptists. Amen. Give her a little something. Amen tonight. And you say, well, I don't think she should do it for a reward. She's going to get a reward in heaven. Amen. I appreciate that. I really do. The service is expensive. You can't hold it down. The Lord is good. Is our life telling our kids God is good? Is our life telling our kids His mercy is everlasting? Is our life telling our kids His truth endureth to all generations? What that would mean, Brother Chris, is our life is telling them, what we're teaching is telling them, is God's truth don't change. It's the same truth and endures to all generations.